Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. And it is going to be a huge gap coming up immediately and for months. Welcome to this week's Left Ahead podcast. This is Mike Ball, who blogs at Left Ahead, and Harumfer. I keep thinking I'm going to get some local guests when I do that. But then things keep happening. So now is the sudden and surprising death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. So that was enough. And then to have Republicans from Mitch McConnell on down swearing we're not going to even give a hearing to anybody that this Obama character would like to nominate in his last 11 months in office. So, you know, they're looking at 11 to 13 months or more of understaffed Supreme Court, and there are big decisions coming up, huge decisions. I mean, that's really stupid in many ways. It's little d democratic. I mean, we have a democracy here, and we have Constitution, and Antonin Scalia, for all of his vitriol and self-centered cleverness, was a strict constructionalist, and Constitution makes it plain. It's the president's job to nominate replacements for the Supreme Court. It's right in there in the document. And he's going to do it. And it doesn't say that the U.S. Senate, which needs to advise and consent on such matters, has to do it in a timely fashion. It doesn't give any time limit at all. And they certainly have the right to say, no, 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 we're not going to take your guy or woman. But we're at a stage now where people are disgusted with Congress. And there's a lot of ramifications for this thing. And, you know, there is the humor of it. I guess this falls in an irony class, that Scalia was really an originalist and a constructionalist, and he would not have put up with saying, oh, no, we got to wait till there's another president. So anyway, we'll get into that. But before we do, I want to say a few disparaging remarks about Nino, as he called himself. Everybody from Barack Obama on down has stopped whatever they're doing to say he was a towering man, a legend, a brilliant legal scholar. And I remain to be convinced, yeah, he was hard-nosed. He had definite opinions. He was influential in his 30 years on the Supreme Court. He was often in the wrong and on the wrong side of things, and yet he frequently formed the a key vote in the 5-4 decisions on the conservative side, as our Supreme Court has been leaning conservative now for a long time, almost 20 years, and it's, you know, it's amazing they've gotten, you know, enough decent stuff done with this conservative wing, because we do have a couple of things like Justice and Roberts can swing to the rational side and aren't crazy like Alito and Scalia and Thomas. So, you know, there are, you know, some good things coming out of there, but on the other hand, Scalia was in love with his own cleverness. I mean, he loved his zingers, as he called them, gross insults, huge disdain for people, people that he would hamper, hurt, harm, and hinder, African-Americans, homosexuals, women. He would go to great lengths to call things, you know, jiggery pokery, and if he didn't like it, it was because the other people on the Supreme Court were fools because they didn't see things the way he did. And he would go to the strongest extremes to say, this is the way things have to be because I understand it, and this is the way I understand it, and that's the only right way to do it. And his understanding was often a states' rights matter, as it was in Obergefell, made marriage equality the rule of the land for homosexual couples in the United States. And he just couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe the Burwell that upheld the Affordable Care Act. And he just insulted everybody up and down there, and just gross, puerile insults. So he was so in love with his cleverness, let's not confuse that with brilliance. Here's a man who has very strong opinions. He wants the states to have charge of all these matters that really are nationwide concerns. And I'm sorry, that's just not the way things have worked for a long time. And he never did get used to that. So Antonin Scalia has a lot to have been ashamed of, but he wasn't. He wasn't at all ashamed. He was positive that he was right in everything, and he was out there being a nasty little boy, saying awful little things and hurting people. So I don't see the brilliance. I see the influence because of his pivotal role and because he was one of the 5-4 votes on the Supreme Court, on a conservative Supreme Court. So anyway. So there you go. But anyway, we're down one. There's another amusing thing. I guess that, that surely falls in the irony class too, because without Scalia, all of a sudden, the court is fairly well evenly divided, balanced, if you pardon the expression. So a lot of votes that would have been 5-4 for the conservative are now 4-4, and what that means in legal terms, of course, is then the lower court decisions would stand. So a lot of things that come up that Citizens United, think about that. Think about the second rights things that everybody can carry all the weapons they want, which was a bizarre interpretation. Scalia was dead wrong on that one. But that's not what his Constitution says, and he knew that. But he's going off on his little thing, and there you have it. So now it's 4-4, except for those areas where it's going to be much more left. If Roberts and Kennedy get rational and go on, it might be a lot of 6-4s until there's a new Supreme Court justice. So if you look at it, all those people who are so much against supporting any nominee or even giving a hearing to any nominee that Obama puts up, they're hurting themselves. Oh, I should call in. If you just happen to be here on a Wednesday afternoon and feel like talking off on this thing, give me a call. We're at 718-664-6966. And give me a call. And if the robotic voice answers, you can press 1 if you want to chat, and that will give me a signal on the dashboard. I'll know that. So that's 718-664-6966. So here we are, and the Constitution is very plain about what's supposed to go on here, and it says that the president is obligated to nominate a replacement for absent high court justices, including the Supreme Court. And Barack Obama, a constitutional scholar himself, knew a hell of a lot more about constitutional law than Antonin Scalia, said he's going to put them up. And I looked at the short list, and there are several places. Slate has a nice recap of those who, and there are, cool people. There are, they cover the diversity basis too. There are women of color and men of color. There are all kinds of highly qualified, scholars and jurists out there. And the amusing thing is that many of them have been approved by the Senate already for their federal court positions by votes of like 97-0. So if the Republicans are going to say we're not going to give them a hearing, or if they give a hearing and say we are not going to support them, and say, well, wait a minute, every single one of you supported this character, 4 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever, here it is. And they are not controversial, and you've already approved this person. So what's going on? So it's going to be pretty hard to explain. And I think that there's going to be some explaining. Got some explaining to do, Lucy, because we have elections coming up. And there are 24 Republican senators who are coming up for election, 10 Democratic senators this time. This is the opposite of the last go that gave the Republicans the majority in the Senate. It's this time it's mostly Republicans. And every single House seat is up. But think about the Senate now. The Senate could very well swing back to the Democrats if people look at it and say, wait a minute, You're not going to even give this guy or woman a shot. You're not going to even have a hearing on it. You're going to let the Supreme Court sit fallow for 11, 13, 15 months so you can play your little political games on it. I think that could be, you know, great fodder for the Democratic opponents, for those 24 senators out there saying, these people won't even talk about it. And it's their obligation. It's their duty. So you got to say that could swing the balance, because the Dems only need to pick up 4 seats to have majority again. So that could very easily happen. In fact, I'm predicting it will happen. And I don't know how big a factor this is going to be. The anything except what Obama wants is just, it's worn pretty damn thin in 8 years. And it's getting worse and worse. And they had backlash when they shut down the government. And here we're going to have, it's got 11 months before the new year. And it'd be several months after that if everything were to go well. And if there's going to be a Republican president, God forbid, who knows how long that process would take. You can be sure that the Democrats aren't going to filibuster, as the Republicans have promised to do, but you know, it could be a while. And it could really cripple the country, as we have big decisions coming up on affirmative action and abortion rights, whether same-sex marriage is safe, Affordable Care Act issues. I mean, it's huge things coming up. We need a full house there. We need definitive, an odd number, so we can get decisions made, and it really needs to be done. So I think people can look at that, and I expect they're going to be screaming. And I think that the Republican Party is going to say, ooh, we can't do this. We can't be the blatant obstructionist that keeps us from having a full Supreme Court at an important time. And again, you have to remember that all of a sudden it's no longer a conservative majority on the Supreme Court. So they really need to get their act together. And they seem to be terrified of the thought that somehow President Obama could put in somebody who would swing the court into a leftist majority, which it hasn't had in the longest time. We've gotten by okay with the conservative majority, but you know, they seem to be terrified of an equal playing field, and I guess they should be, because they're not rational enough to rule by mind. So I'm thinking that we are going to have an even chance of forcing some hearings there. But if you do look at the short list of whom Obama can nominate, and you can see that they're going to fall into the thing that the progressive types like me object to about this president, is he really is kind of tepid and timid and trepid. He comes in and he tries to be nice. He's like our former governor here, who was a good friend of his, Deval Patrick, and both of them said, I'm going to make everybody work together, and they try the hardest. Both of them had recalcitrant, highly politicized legislatures, so it didn't work the way they thought it was going to, but they really did try, and they say the same things, and that's one of Obama's shortcomings, is he comes in and says, gee, let's all get along here, I'll propose this, I'll propose that, and he's not going to propose a serious left-winger for the Supreme Court. He just, I don't know if he knows any, but anyway, he's not going to do it, and he has a huge list of people who are centrists. I mean, they're there. I mean, who knows what's going to happen if one of his people becomes a Supreme Court justice? So we had a long history of many of those people going to one extreme or the other once they got in, and you know, everybody thought they knew exactly what they were about until they got in, and it wasn't quite so obvious. So we have that, but you know, I think that he has, you know, I've seen a list of over 12 people he has who are centrist and have been already approved by the Senate, and they're there, and nobody is going to come in. No one is going to be a Bernie Sanders. Nobody is going to be the big left wing. No one's going to be revolutionary. It just isn't there. And it would really behoove the Republicans to get their act together and dicker and talk about it and go with one of those people who is the middle of the road. They and then hope that their reason and fairness and justice prevail, and this person comes down and settles down into a mold that suits them more than they might otherwise. Otherwise, we all lose. So I think it's a serious issue, and we need to get it resolved quickly. And the Republicans are going to be really hurting themselves and the nation. And there they go, and they want to do it, and they want to be as obstructionist as possible. And we look very undemocratic. Oh, I should put another call. In case you are listening, in case you do have something to say on the subject, do give me a call. I'm at 718-664-6966. And when the robot answers, press 1 to let me know you're ready to speak. Alrighty. So don't think we're going to have any more chances at another justice when Obama's in power. I mean, we already have people are saying on the no-no side, the obstructionist side, they're saying, this is unheard of. And it isn't at all unheard of. I mean, happened during Reagan's presidency and a number of other times, like 14 times in the nation, the an outgoing president has nominated a Supreme Court justice. And I think all except for one of George Washington's were approved. So it goes way back, and it's the norm, and here it is. And it's not a month or 2 months. It's 11 months before Obama is ready to pack up. So we really need to get this done, and it's I am frustrated by the concept that these people would let the nation just dangle like this for such a long time and spit on one-third of the our government. We have a branch here, the judicial branch, and it's headed by the SCOTUS, and the Republicans are just saying, we don't want to do it. We don't want to have all three branches of government. Speaking of constitutional, that's also in the Constitution. And Scalia should have fits about that. So and we have people, you know, as diverse as Ben Carson saying that certainly this needs to be done, and certainly either a Democratic or Republican president would nominate in this position, and they ought to act on it. And you know, there's a whole lot in there, and it's the no-no part of the Senate is sick and childish. So I'm going to say that's the way it's going to go, and I'm hoping that we're going to get a good nominee and that Obama can work his magic. He's gotten a few things done, but he can't do it. Lyndon Johnson, he doesn't have the arm-twisting, backstabbing, threatening powers that some presidents have, but if he can get down there and convince a few Republicans to get up there, and then the terrible people like Senator Cruz is saying he is absolutely not going to allow a hearing of any type, if he can be badgered by his peers into saying, well, okay, let's give these people a listen, and you know they can go through that. Because I think come the fall, if they have held the nation captive until November, at least four Republican senators are going to lose their seats, and the Dems are going to get the Senate again, and that's entirely thanks to the obstructionists. So I'm going to call it, and I'm going to say we got about an even chance of getting a hearing. I think if we get hearings, we'll get one of Obama's wishy-washy justices. They may be smart. They may be as smart as Scalia thinks he was. But we're going to have somebody, and there's not going to be any great revolution with any sort of Lenin character coming in and making sweeping changes. We're going to have a continuation of this court, which is what we're due as a nation, I believe. So I call it, and I say it's got to be done. And I have no question that even old nasty Antonin Scalia would have said, well, it's the president's responsibility to do that, and the Senate has a moral and legal responsibility to have hearings, to advise, and then consent or not. So I think their great recent corpse would support Obama on this one. It's time to call him out and get some hearings. So there you go. So I'll try. I promise. I'll try to round up our local guests. I'd like to get our attorney general here on opiates. She's strong on that, and get a few people to talk to. But watch leftahead.com and check in my Twitter feed at Word, WHIRRED. And again, I don't spam you on that. I run a few tweets a week. So if you subscribe to Word, you're going to see, things like something useful that you can really do something with, and announcements like want a guest or shows coming up. So do that. What do we have here? Okay. Hi there. Who's joining us? Caller dropped off. I guess he or she didn't really want to speak. Okay. So do check ahead at leftahead.com or Word, WHIRRED, and you can see what's coming up next. Thank you, and good afternoon.